Welcome in to episode 156 of Caitlin's Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a What's a Crack section, Mum section's back, Mum fans, Swap section,
Legends of the Fall.
Coming up, a review section where I talk about Cornish Tin 2, the Uncal final outing, the Mimi Me section and a wee shoppy section. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/CaitlinsCraft. All links will be with the show notes when I write them up in the last episode, sorry. But I will. So get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caitlin's this week.
Hello.
Hello section. Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and let me use your broadband. Or somebody else's, you never know. Sandy, hello to new group members, Gail Kendall, who's from Lincoln, Nebraska, and Girl in Knots, who's Carrie from Lakeside, California. Random hellos are to Sunrise617, Neurotic Panda, Sean Carden, hopefully I've said that right, Milena Jones Dotty, and the lovely Sue Flynn.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? Recently, there was a needle found in a cave in Siberia from 50,000 years ago. The caveman crafting's fair catching on, isn't it? Humans were obviously crafty way back then, although actually I suppose it was required then. It was made from a big bird, hopefully not our yellow friend from Sesame Street. It has an eye for thread, and it was made not by Homo sapiens, but by our Denisovan ancestors. I thought that was quite amazing how it's survived, more than what we know about that era. There was a visit from our tooth fairy. Sandy has obviously been kissing the girls, and he's lost a tooth last week. He'd written a letter to the tooth fairy along with his tooth, and it stated that he didn't care how much money he got, but for the tooth fairy to write back and answer a few questions. Now, at the time of tooth extraction, the tooth fairy didn't read the letter because they'd forgotten a pen, but 2 days later, Sandy got a letter, and this is what it said. Dear Sandy, many thanks for your letter accompanying your tooth. Be rest assured that your letter was read by myself and my elf helper, Magnuson the Mini. Your tooth was much appreciated, and I trust that the fine fiscal deposit made for it will suffice to add to any near purchases. Your teeth are much appreciated. Obviously, if they're in good nick, then we can use them for the special secret magical purposes that we cannot disclose. So, to answer your questions, hopefully as succinctly as possible, you asked where we keep all the teeth. As mentioned above, we collate the teeth for the special magical purposes that we cannot obviously disclose, due to being a secret, and you not being a fairy or an elf. One day, when you're much older, you will realise and it will all make sense. Until then, please relax and be rest assured that the teeth are used for the purposes of good and your contributions are both most appreciated and assist in our endeavours. You are correct in stating that you believe in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny and Jack Frost. Whilst I do not see any of them very often in person, I am texting and Facebooking them. Santa is a good bloke. Jack is pretty quiet these days. And well, the Easter Bunny. Let's just say that you can choose your friends, but not your magical relations. If only you knew just how much chocolate you are supposed to get, and not before that bunny has had his fill. Well, let's just say there will be a lot more teeth falling out from tooth decay. I shall make sure that I visit your bestie David when the time's right and his teeth have fallen out. I hear he likes sweets a lot, so maybe a visit will be sooner rather than later. I do believe that David's getting a tooth fairy visit tonight. I am glad that you do not care about how much money you're given. It is a rare treat these days to meet someone who's not driven by money or greed. You are a good lad. Remember, brush your teeth, be nice to your sister, mum, dad and dogs. Keep your room clean so I can make it to your pillow without tripping over books and toys. Look after yourself and see you soon. Love, the Tooth Fairy. Thought you'd like that. Now, Let's Knit magazine for September 2016. I bought it to get the Woodland Gang toy set, who is Belinda Bunny, Augie Owlet, Ferdy Fox and Enid Owl. I was so reminded of Timid Toad, Reckless Rat, Artful Hour and Batty Bat. But obviously with different animals and not Capron Beaky, but they are very cute. These are by Sashio Ishii from her mini knitted woodland book, and you can buy this from Search Price. There's also patterns for otters and deer and stags and various others. And also in this kit, Sarah Keane has a couple of patterns of a hedgehog and a toadstool from her book of 100 Little Knitted Projects. However, dear listeners, I failed in not buying any more acrylic yarn. Like I said last episode, it wasn't last very long, did it? Because this is 100% acrylic, so poops. It didn't occur to me at the time of browsing the magazines today. I should have gone for the Pretty Patches quilting magazine because it's got quilting clips as the front cover gift. I don't know why they call it a free gift, because you're paying for the package of the magazine, which includes the cost of the kit. Anyway, there's a couple of other patterns I thought were okay in the magazine, and some interesting articles to read whilst I have my coffee. Oh, and Claire Soup Dragon said that there's a craft along for these wee toys in the Charmo Fit podcast. So that would be good for encouragement and helpful tips.
The review section.
Review section. I've got my sticky paws on some Cornish 10 2 double knit weight yarn from Blacker. And this is via the very lovely Knit British Louise. She gave it to me when she met me on her honeymoon after winding off some for her Croft Hoose hat that she was knitting on. And I'm getting to review it here. I'm pretty sure it was that hat, but it was definitely a hat. I'm so excited because it's not out yet, and I'm one of the few people that have actually got their mitts on it so far. So big thank you to Sonia from Blacker Yarns for her email and with the finer details. Now mine was already wound into a lovely round, my hand-sized ball, by the most eloquent of ladies, Louise. So I had even less work to do with it, which is doing me fine. It's just straight to knitting. I got the colour Wheel Kitty, and this is named after one of the Cornish mines around where Blacker are based. Now I'm very familiar with the word wheel, as Poldark returns to our TV screens this week, and I've read loads of the Winston Graham books, and this week adding the Loving Cup to my collection. And now I've only got two more books to finish the series. Poldark was based in the late 1700s, early 1800s, Cornwall, and in and around the tin and copper mines, which are called the Wheals, and that's Wheal spelt W-H-E-A-L, and it means place of work in Cornish. I was so tickled with the serendipity of this. And I know they didn't do it on purpose to tie in with Poldark starting, and hey, maybe they get annoyed with people talking about Poldark being the Cornish thing, but if you're in any way, shape or form fond of Poldark, well, here's a fantastic tie into the programme. Now here's the official information from Blacker regarding the yarn. Cornish 10 2. After surviving our 10th birthday and the success of last year's Cornish 10, Sue felt we could about cope with doing it again. So here is 10 2 in celebration of our 11th year. They have got two eyes. Maybe it is 11. I'm not actually too sure about that. But again, we've hand blended this yarn using fibre from our favourite small producers. There were many people who missed out last time. Hello, that's me. So we've bought tin back one final time. Oh, one final time. That's so sad. Like before, this specific blend is a truly limited edition and will only be made once. We've made a few changes to the recipe for tin the second, or 11. Most notably, we've managed to make this year's blend using 100% UK-based fibre. This steely grey woolen spun yarn is blended from a collection of the highest quality British fibres, including alpaca, Portland, Saxon Merino, Gotland, Jacob, Shetland, Black Welsh Mountain, mohair and English Merino. Wow. 10 the second, or 11. I should really have asked that today, it's shocking. I kind of like the idea of it being 11, but I kind of like the idea of saying 10 too. It is a careful blend of lustrous, smooth fibres with slightly more bulky wools to create a lovely handle and give the yarn a delicate halo. The Gotland and mohair fibres give the dyed shades a subtle pop of intensity. This wonderfully bouncy yarn is available in a gorgeous silver grey and seven dyed shades, all named after Cornish tin mines. We've spun tin 2 to both 4-ply and double knit, and it goes on sale on the 20th September. It will retail at £16.20 per 100 grams, and this is a limited edition yarn, so don't miss out. I've read that pretty much verbatim. I really don't like getting things wrong when I transfer them from their carefully managed marketing information onto my podcast, which is obviously carefully managed too. Honest. Well, it is, actually. What I did with this lovely hand-sized ball, may you wonder. Well, listeners, I was rummaging around in one day, and I found that the very, very lovely Treen, a knitting pattern a day calendar from 2012. Treen, is it really that long? Well, I had a flick through a few days, and I saw a pattern for a headband. And my hair is almost full bob length now, and I was really getting some in my eyes and annoys me quite a lot. Why am I growing it out, you may wonder? I wonder that too. However, I like putting it into pigtails, and I'm using headbands or buffs to keep it out my face when I'm running or even just walking the dogs. It's a little bit too hot still for hats. Which is nice, long live the heat, especially until after the 9th of October when I've got to do the Craggy Island Triathlon. So this pattern is called Gypsy Cable's Headband, and it's by Tina Sanders of Buckeye, Arizona. It's listed on Ravelry, but you can only get it if you bought the calendar, which is a bit of a shame. Oh, there is errata in the pattern, but on Ravelry, others have helpfully noted what they did in their project pages. The pattern calls for worsted, and I have a double knit, and it is working out absolutely lovely. I'm using a size 4.5 Knit Pro Circular with a metal cable needle. The wooden knit pros aren't so keen on the metal cable needle when I'm stretching the stitch out, so... But it's not a huge project. The yarn has three plies, all which are pretty firmly spun. It's a round yarn and it sits nice in a garter stitch, all proud. In stocking stitch, all sensible. And in purl stitch, look at me, I'm back to school. The cable sits very well defined and the dyed marl of a colour is a standard all through what I've worked on so far. I love this colour. It's a burnt orange with marl of darkness through it. It's also the colour of my dog Buckle, which I'm all over. And when you rub the yarn, it's soft along the pads of my fingers, but when it's in the ball or in the pattern, it's sturdy, almost to the point of a prickly crunch, or maybe a crunch or a crockle. It's not itchy and scratchy come running down the alley, and I reckon with a block that this'll soften right up. I'm putting that down to the alpaca Shetland and merino. It has attitude like the Jacob and definition that the Gotland should. This yarn has personality, in fact, and I've really quite enjoyed working with it. It's also stood up to being tinked back, ripped back, because I said this pattern has errata in it, and plus I couldn't remember what a CF4 and a TF4 was, other than Star Wars characters. So I had to go back to the start when I was a good 2 inches past that point. I know 2 inches of wrong cable is not right, but I was happy. I was testing out what the yarn would do for me. And I'm pleased to say that I ripped it out as well, as Poldark could rip off his shirt to go scythe that field again. And it absolutely handled very well. I'm going to have loads left too. This yarn would make a great hat, as Louise was using it for, as grabby enough for colour work. It also makes some fantastic jumpers and cardigans, as I think it would be okay near the skin. I would probably have a long sleeve top underneath with my sensitive skin, but once it's been washed a few times, it'll be softer and all the lanolin will go away. I don't like lanolin because I'm allergic to it. There's 7 shades plus the grey to choose from, all obviously going with each other, so you could either indulge or get colour work in, or you could have 2 or even just 1 of them all. They have a very handy darker grey, which is today's discussion on Twitter. It confirmed that it makes all the other colours shine. I had a look at my library for ideas of what to make, and I think a Lush by Tink and Knits or a Chickadee by Isolde would be fantastic projects. They would have to be informed purchases with it being $16.95 for 100 grams, but you know what? You're not just buying the yarn or the colour, and then you're buying a fantastically wearable longevity of a cardigan, but you're also supporting the British yarn industry. You're supporting Sue and Sonia from Blacker, who knock their pans in to keep us with blacker yarns, and also supporting all those farmers from all those different breeds, keeping the breeds going, and the mill workers too. Maybe you've got some birthday money, or it's an early Christmas. And I know that Twin St Jan knitted a copper plate cardigan with her Cornish tin last year, and she didn't buy enough to make the sleeves, and persuaded her lovely, lovely twin sister Ellen to give her stash of 4-ply so Jan could make the sleeves. So Jan, buy enough this year, and Ellen, here's your chance to get some more 4-ply, but this time knit it with it really fast so you don't have to give it up, because you can't. I really want to go and work my headband again. It's not that I grudge this time, but my fingers are itchy and I'm looking at it because I've been plating it and playing with it and thinking about it. So that is Cornish 10, the second version, could be 11, could be 2, by Blacker Yarns, and it's coming out on the 20th of September. Also, they have got some yarn coming from St Kilda, and it's going to be dyed by Knitting Goddess, and it seems like it'll be pretty cool too. Can you imagine them sheepies living on St Kilda, out in the middle of the Atlantic? Well, a fair bit out from where we live. It's not right in the middle, I was being exaggerating. But I love the fact that their fleece is going to get used, and we'll get a chance to actually use it. So keep your eyes on the Blacker Prize. Uncal. September is here. I'm now closing the Uncal. I thank you for your company whilst we did this over the past 5-ish or so months, albeit the idea did start on the 20th of September 2014, probably about Connecticut, when I turned to Twinsit Jan and I said, you know what, I just can't keep up with all the knit-alongs. I'm going to have to host a non-Cal knit-along. She looked at me. Her wee eyes glinted with mischief, rained down on all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking part. I feel like I've been an enabler of some reused yarn. Some projects have been squirreled away, forgotten and unloved. Some of them have been finished. And you've been quite inspirational in all ways, ripping out and starting again. Doing the unicorn, who shall always and forevermore be called Supercorn, and lives up at Eastmay. And also leaving it and picking it up and starting again. Oh, sorry, leave it. Yeah, hello, you're awake again. And it's been wonderful for my many, many songs and complete nonsense. Now, the last section is closed. This was the pick it up and start again section. I'm going to run through who did what, as it always made me smile, and then it's good fodder for the podcast. So, finished entrants are FRK Strick, who has a Contagious Jumper by Susie Myers, and she's wondered about the edge should be I-cord or a turned hem. I think it looks good with the I-cord, and then she's decided with, along with a knitting friend, to go with that. Ramona House on Fire has finished her blue pie shawl, which is just gorgeous. I'd love to do another pie shawl, but I'm not sure that I have enough yarn of the same kind. Although, when I was rolling around in my craft store the other day and I was thinking about it, I think I do. It's one ply though. But I want to join your gang, Ramon. Holity made a Jen Sheelan pattern of the mason jar cover Fairy's Fireflight, which is very, very pretty. Alice Jeffcoat finished her blossom cushion and she used two colours and I think it came out wonderfully. Flutter by Song finished her longest running project, which was Lizard Ridge by Laura Ayler, and it's a blanket or a throw made in either one piece or squares, which is what Flutter by Song had gone for, and then there's a crocheted edge. I think that'll be the way coziest blankie this year. Perfect Circle. I'm so pleased to tell you she has finished her Starlight Shawl by Anna Dalvey, which is double knitted and it's amazing. A mother Anne. Again with the I love this, but I am never ever making that, and I admire that you did. Then my lovely airport friend, Silver Spring Knit. Hello, Nora. She finished her Frances Herself shawl by my other friend, Carrie Westerman. I love the colours that you chose, Nora. They're so elegant. Helen HG has not quite finished her baby blanket, but you know, I think she might just get it done soon, so she's going into the pot. Poke the Goblin is working on a Vivid blanket by Tin Can Knits, and this is using different sheep and fibre blends, and while she's not quite finished, she's done a fair whack over the summer. Not Just Hats Diane has finished her Crane Creek cardigan by Sandy Rosner, using a very fetching raspberry burnet sesame worsted. Diane, have you finished with all that material yet? No? Well, off you go. Go and start something with it. I bet you're laughing right now. I can hear you laughing. She's thinking about it too. Knitting with Chemistry has finished a 7-year-old Fern Frost by Anne Hansen, and it has double-sided lace, so well done. You can see why it took 7 years. But it's gorgeous blue, and you should be so proud. Oh, and FRK Strick has also two has got two entries into this. She's made Not Yet Woven in the Ends. Oh, that's terrible. I always weave my ends in, especially my dishcloths. But she's made a Nascent cardigan by Amanda Woger, and it's a really, really bonny colour of pink. So well done to you all. I am really motivated by your finishing. I want to knit. So prizes, because that's what it was almost all really about. First out, the random number generator was number 6, who was Perfect Circle and who deserves nothing less than greatness after all that double knitting. So she wins a pattern from Jane Sheelan's shop. Thank you very much, Jane. Second is Knitting with Chemistry and her Fern Frost. So she wins a needle roll, which is hand sewn by Erica Eccles, and is so tempting not to post this because I really like it. Third is Holity, who wins a wee project bag from me, but it's not made by me. It is bought by me from Walk You Home. And one last thank you for this immense non-knit along this year. We survived.
The Swap
Section. Swap. Legends of the Fall. Legends of the Fall. 2016 continues to steal lumps of our legends. This week we mourn the loss of Gene Wilder, who played many, many roles and will mostly be reminded for his Willy Wonka of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fame and Blazing Saddles and plenty of other things that he was very good in. So to celebrate him and various others like David Bowie and Catherine Ahern, we're having the swap of legendary status. So you've got 8 days to sign up and it closes on the 10th of September. State who your legend is that you admire and you want to celebrate. They can be alive or dead, infamous, or someone you think deserves being highlighted. Give a little biography for the lesser known people, please. The total cost shall be £40. There will be 3 standard items in this. Item 1 has to be made by you, reflects the legend and useful to the person receiving it. Item 2 has to be something of use to the person receiving it and reflecting the legend. Item 3 has to be edible and reflecting the legend. Be aware of custom restrictions. There can be more items included, but please do not go overboard and stick to your £40 limit so your swap partner won't feel too bad and feel that they then have to send you back and you're in an ever-spiralling sending back and forward of things. Please also include a note explaining everything. You must post this by Halloween and there will be a check-in for me to me in the first week of October. If you sign up to this, I expect you to deliver, obviously illness and serious issues allowing. When the 10th of September comes round, I'll close the thread and earburn you all. When I open it up, you will be able to go in and choose your swap partner. It will be a case of first come, first served. If there isn't an even number, I'll panic about that at the time. I did have an example, but I think you can work it out. And there's all the information is in the thread. So please do go sign up. We've got plenty of room for plenty more of you.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up, the Loch Ness Knit Fest is on September the 29th to the 2nd of October in and around Inverness, and I know why I can't go, because Sheena Norcoy is going to be running a workshop at Caithness Quilters, and I am going to that. There was a reason. I couldn't remember it last episode. Festiwool is a yarn and fibre festival for lovers of textile art, sewing, knitting and crochet held in Hitchin in Herefordshire in the UK. Now in its 3rd year, it features about 50 independent craftspeople and designers whose wear include yarn, fibre notions and patterns. As well as the exhibitors, there will be workshops, book signings, presentations, demos and fashion shows. This year's event will be held on Saturday the 12th of November from 10 to 5 in the new atrium, North Hertz College, Hitchin Campus, Herefordshire. Tickets cost £7.50 on the door or could be booked in advance for £5 or £4 for OEPs and children's under 10. For more details, including a list of exhibitors to book tickets or places at the workshop, please visit www.festiwool.com. Gardening Witch Designs will be exhibiting too, and she's taking project bags, stitch markers, shell pins and one or other two knitting, crochet, sewing related bits and bobs. She will also have some ceramic yarn bowls from Chris Greening Pottery. Sounds ace, actually. I'm a bit grumpy I can't get to either of these, but never mind. I'll be doing other stuff. Then, of course, the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is on the 10th and 11th of March. I'm sure that they'll be thinking about putting out their class lists soon. Because it's September, it was October, that Halloweenish time that they did it last year. If I'm not doing Inverness Half Marathon, I want to get a workshop this year.
Nah, grandma section.
Right, here is the mum section. Here's mum's update, if you've not heard her for a while. With special mention for a special someone.
Hi, Mum.
Hello, Louise.
How are you today?
Oh, fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit cold now.
Why?
Because you look so lovely and toasty. Would you like to tell the listeners why you look so lovely and toasty?
Well, I got the most lovely surprise through the week. I had been out shopping, I came in, and there, lying in the front lobby, was a parcel. So, of course, parcel for me. Who's that from? And yet, oh, never guess. I was delighted. From Pat. Pat from America.
Oh, Pat Frag. Oh, Pat.
Yes. So, I went in and opened the parcel. And I couldn't believe it. Oh, isn't it beautiful? It's lovely, lovely, lovely shawl.
Really lovely colours, isn't it?
Beautiful, yes.
It's a sort of mottled blue, tweedy kind of blue.
And do you know the shawl?
Yes, that is by our friend Paula. Your friend and mine, Paula. That's her pattern.
Lovely.
And it's a Piper's Journey.
It's gorgeous.
It's just really lovely.
And I got this lovely envelope.
Oh, yes.
With a lovely card.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat wrote his, you know, a little note on it. And isn't it lovely?
Cape Shore, Yarmouth, M.E. Yeah.
So, Pat, thank you very much. Thank you. It's gorgeous. And I just delighted. So I couldn't wait quick enough to come and show Louise. I put it on.
Yeah, she did. It was great.
But she knew about it.
I know, I had to be all surprised. And then, you know, as I sort of said things, I was like, yeah, I gave myself a wee that I'd already... Pat had asked for your address.
It's beautiful. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, that's how nice Pat is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, oh, yes. And I did miss not going too. But I loved seeing all the photographs. And I did see, outside,
mm-hmm.
And Louise's photographs.
Mm-hmm. And she did get quite a lot of wool back, didn't you?
Yes, thank you. I did.
So, yes. Mother, apart from getting lovely stuff in the post, it's so eye-catching. It's just beautifully knitted,
mm-hmm.
and yes. beautifully blocked.
Yes, it's... Oh, yes, you could tell. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful blocked, yes. Absolutely.
What else have you been crafting, Mother?
Well, I've been knitting, and I did... it's a jacket cardigan,
mm-hmm.
and... It had either very short sleeves or long sleeves, but I did the 3/4,
mm-hmm.
and it's it doesn't meet in the middle, but it is connected with three lots of leaves. So there's 6 leaves, 3 on each side, and then you put a button there, and you make a buttonhole with the...
An eye cord.
Yes.
Oh, lovely. It's kind of like a Chinese type of thing.
Yes. And I was quite pleased with it. Well, I was pleased with it. And I bought the pattern at Elizabeth's wool shop in Thurso.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a King Cole cotton, blue and...
Kind of marled.
Marled, mm-hmm. Cotton. And it knitted up lovely.
Was it pure cotton?
Well, it just said yes.
All right.
It was lovely. Mm-hmm. Lovely to knit too.
Was it? Because mm-hmm. cotton sometimes can be hard in the hands.
No, this is, and it's soft. Oh. And so I like the pattern so much, I've had wool over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm busy knitting a little jumper underneath to match.
Oh, lovely.
Now, I wanted the leaves on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to one pattern and I found the leaves because I couldn't knit the leaves from the jacket pattern because they were going up over
mm-hmm.
the way I had to knit it. And then stitch it on, and they went sideways. Mm-hmm. So I wanted the at the bottom, so I had to find a pattern that the leaves went around mm-hmm. at the bottom. So I found that pattern, and then I had to knit the rib, mm-hmm. knit the pattern of leaves, mm-hmm. stitch that on, mm-hmm. picked up
the bit above it.
Above it, and then started knitting on around.
Ah.
And then
wow, there's no stopping you when you want to do something.
And then I knitted it up, and then I've got the I'm knitting the sleeves now, and this is from another pattern because it's long sleeves again, but I wanted the 3/4.
Uh-huh.
So I'm knitting off 3 patterns off from each jumper, but it seems we turned out okay.
How do you do that when you don't do a tension swatch? Because I know you wouldn't have done.
No, I didn't, but...
Or do you just measure as you go?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all in the fit.
Yeah. I have to measure as I go, yes. Mm. And I mean, the pattern wasn't on a round, but I did it on a round.
Good for you. Lace sewing up.
Yes.
Speaking of sewing, have you been doing any sewing recently, Mum?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What?
I didn't do any patchwork or quilting because we've got the September starting for the month for the winter mm-hmm. every week, so I was leaving my 2 quilts, and I've got to start another 2 for little ones, Molly and Harry.
Oh.
Linus quilts for them.
Lovely.
And so I thought I would start altering some of my clothes because I've lost weight.
Well done, Mum. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there are clapping their hands and going, well done, Zelia. Or Louise's mum.
Yeah. So I got through a fair bit, but I've still got a pile to go.
Uh-huh.
And I have bought some new ones.
Good stuff. Actually, just talking about alterations, I've got a Mackay tartan skirt upstairs. I want you to have a look at, see if I can take it up.
Ooh.
For me.
Ooh, right, lovely. Mm-hmm.
And what were we doing today?
Oh, hang on.
Oh, sorry.
I made 2 pencil cases.
Oh, well, that's important.
With the help of Sandy and Daisy.
Ah.
They came with, well, Daisy came with a basket full of
scrap fabric.
Uh-huh. I want to make a pencil case, Grandma. And I says, okay. And of course, there wasn't enough material. She wanted quite a big one, she mm-hmm. said. So what I did, I helped her along, and she decided, she chose the materials,
mm-hmm.
and I got like the width and the length from her, what she wanted. She wanted a zip, and then she just changed her mind for a button, and she chose the button. And then I said, do you want your name on? So I got a separate piece of material, matching material, and she sewed her name. She was practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted penguins on.
Mm-hmm.
So I did penguins. And then she got a bit bored. And off she went.
And you had to finish it. Ah, yeah.
And then once I started, I didn't put a button on. I put a zip on. It was quite a big pencil case. And then I put some flowers on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for my Daisy...
Foot.
I can't find it.
Oh.
So I just put ordinary flowers on from the part of the embroidery mm-hmm. on the sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sandy said, the following week, Grandma, I would love a pencil case like Daisy's, but bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
And a pocket.
Oh, and a pocket.
For to put his rubbers in. So mm-hmm. I did that with his ideas, and he did his name. And when he saw it, he says, oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're using them because they're both at school. Although she has a pencil case for the house and a pencil case for school. And one of them seems to have disappeared in Daisy La La Land because it's that messy. But Sandy, last night, I said to him, where's your pens and pencils that we got you before you went back to school? The good set. Because I'm thinking, right, fine, we'll spend a bit more on that Staedtler. Stationary things, I'll never have to hunt around for a rubber or a sharpener or a pencil again. They're all at school. So,
right.
But they are very much using them.
So today, what have we doing?
Oh, yes, and that's why you're here. Right, well, we're looking at 20 jars of strawberry jam.
Yes.
So we've been jamming. Join in with me, Mum. We're jamming. Jamming. We're jamming. Jamming. We're jamming, jamming, jamming. We hope you like jamming too. Well, you can like it all you want. You're not getting any of my strawberry jam unless you come to visit and then you can have it on your scones. That you have to buy from the bakers to take along because they're not that good at baking.
When Louise went off to America, you know.
Oh, did I go to America? I'd forgotten.
On holiday with her husband and children.
Yeah, and didn't take Mum with her.
Mum came and went into the polytunnel and picked her strawberries.
She sure did.
And I couldn't believe how big and beautiful and a lot of them. A lot of them.
And that's fun to say that you actually picked all of them and didn't eat half of them.
True. Okay. Very true. So when I got in the car, I thought, oh, I think I'll just put these in the freezer because there was so many of them and I'll not do anything for them. But by the time I got home, I thought, yes, I'll do them properly, wash them and hull them and bag them and weigh them. And I had 5 big bags.
But we decided that we wanted to try it, one of them strawberry huller plastic thingies that you get. If anybody's got one of them, I'd love to know if it works.
Yes. Yes, because by the time I was finished, I was a wee bit...
Yeah.
But I'm glad I did it as well, you know.
Do you know, I'm just thinking, see that jar that's half full?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably about the amount of strawberries that my children ate when I sent them to pick some strawberries one day. Not that I'm bitter and twisted or anything. But yeah. So thank you for your help.
Oh, you're welcome. And I do enjoy jam making.
I know.
Especially when it comes out okay.
Aye. Next week's plum.
Oh, yes.
So we'll need to get some jars organised for that. And now we're going to talk, well, Mummy and I are going to talk, not on a recording, I was going to say on camera, but this isn't a camera, about the cardigan that Daisy once knitted for her birthday. It's a Katja Frankel pattern and it's called School's Out. Oh, well, School's Back, but it's what Daisy wanted. She chose it from Ravelry. All them patterns I have in my library, she wanted a Katja Frankel one that I don't have. So I bought it. So the wool that you're going to use for it is from Knit From Yarns from the Plain Yarn. And
it's turquoise. Daisy chose the colour. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty. It's, is it 4-ply? I think it's 4-ply.
Yeah, it's 4-ply.
4-ply. And Louise has just found the pattern for me because my computer is down at the moment and I'm so sad about it. So I was wanting it knitted for a birthday in September, but I don't know if I'll manage.
Super knitter you, I'm sure you will. No pressure or anything. Right.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's a bonny pattern.
It is. I don't think it'll have too much to it. Our patterns are normally pretty well written, so I think it'll be quite good.
That's good. I've forgotten the make of the pattern. The wool. It had some sort of animal on the...
I can't remember anymore.
No, it's ages since I... wait, what? Was it May? April?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time for me to remember.
Who am I again?
Yes.
Right. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, and thank you again, Pat. It's beautiful.
It is. Thank you. Oh. I know. How nice is Pat? The shawl's beautiful. Mom was absolutely beside herself with glee, so thank you for that, Pat. I had her up to date, and again, this week we made plum jam. I had 15 kilograms of plums. I've only used 5.5 of them on plain plum and plum and ginger and cinnamon jam. Mmm, stupendous. We had 4 pans on the go and we were comparing and contrasting thicknesses and kernel counts. I read somewhere that you don't need to take out the stones prior to boiling as they rise to the surface. Well, after ages picking them out, I'm never doing that again and spending that little bit of extra time in preparation. time spent in reconnaissance and seldom wasted. It was good to have an extra set of hands, and I'm going to make some plum-flavoured vodka, some plum sauce, and give off a kilo or two to use up the rest of the plums over the weekend. Thank you, Mum. It's very helpful. She went off with her plum jam.
The beaker section. Me section.
And the reason it's called the beaker section is because the beaker character from Sesame Street goes me, 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 me. And that's what I think I sound like when I'm going, it's all about me. Get your own podcast. Me. Sorry. Right. On to the knitting front. As mentioned earlier, I had started a Gypsy Cables headband using Cornish tin 2 or 811 in the Wheel Kitty colour, which is a copper buchel colour. And yes, I still want to be knitting on it and not typing this. I'm about a third into this. I had a look on Ravelry last night and a few people have made this and found their errata and they've written out what should be done where, which is helpful. So I'll follow that when I pick it back up again shortly. I've been back to my Colour Collusion show by Jan M. Hamby using yarns from the plane, hi Nick, blue-faced Leicester in a gradient from blue through green to yellow. Last we spoke, I had to take it out and pick up the second triangle again, which I did one night whilst I think I was watching the Olympics. I can't wait for the Paralympics next week. I have withdrawal symptoms. This yarn is a BFL and it's dark. That's okay working on it in the evenings, really, because it's mostly garter. Unless you haven't realised which is your cast on side and not your cast on side for the decrease point. One day, not long after, I looked at mine in the daylight to realise I was decreasing on the wrong side. Would I take it out again? No, I wasn't going to. So I flicked the stitch marker over, which was so carefully placed upon starting and carrying on regardless. So this time it whizzed in as it is garter stitch. I had then two triangles and I referred to my video I took of Her Royal Highness Jan telling me how to pick up the border and do it when we were at camp. Now, if any of you can get your designer to do a wee video of what happens where and when, totally recommend it. As sometimes you think you'll remember, but when it comes down to it, you won't. And it's handy then go back and remember the holiday and how hot I was. Then another fine day when the bairns had someone over to play with and were preoccupied, I was hiding in the mummy cave of my bedroom and I cast on the border. I've got 34 grams left of the yarn and two triangles are quite small together. So I'm going to do a fair whack on the border before doing the picot bind off when the yellow or the limey green colour will come into effect. So it'll not just pop, but bang! Maybe I should have used bigger needles or even a different yarn, but I didn't, and I really am okay with this. I'm putting in a wee increase in the odd bit on the point, because otherwise it'll pull it in with it being a triangle. So whilst I was hiding in the mummy cave, where unfortunately baby bears can still find their mummy bear, sometimes, and they are looking up for a bit of peace and quiet, along comes a baby bear, Sandy, who asks, "What was I doing hiding in your room?" I said, "Oh, I'm just trying to pick up the shawl while you were through playing." He then whined his baby bear with a tooth missing, hungry call of, "Why aren't you working on my toothless dragon crochet?" To which this mummy bear had no reply. I have since promised I wouldn't work on anything other than his toothless through the daylight hours and just get him finished. This is Toothless the Dragon by Nicole's Nerdy Knots, which is a crocheted anagurumi in black. Pitch black. Because Toothless is a night fury. Well, I found out recently. He is in the films and the cartoons, but in the books, he's a common or garden dragon by Cressida Cowell. Obviously the film's based on, and like I say, I like to think that St. Kilda is the island in this book. Those sheep. So, I'd printed off the pattern and not yet found where I put the one I tidied off before my holiday, which is odd because normally that happens. So I rattled through his small wings, his spikes, his legs, front and back, and his toes on his feet. His wing arms, because, you know, wings have arms, but think like a bat. Bats kind of have arm and they walk over and with their little creepy little hands. I kind of like bats, or I kind of want to like bats, but I like bats when I'm standing at the door and they're nowhere near my hair, even though they don't go near your hair, because wings have arms. But I got stuck on his wings. Fear not, dear listeners. She has a YouTube video tutorial on how to do the entire dragon. How cool's that? It was like the universe heard me getting stuck. And it created this solution weeks, months, possibly even years ago. I'd like to say I rattle through both wings, but no, I can't count to 16. And 16 is where I need to be, so I had to rip it back to where I had 16 to carry back on. If I say it enough times, 16, it might stick. 16. You might stick. 16, too. She came in like a dream, peaches and cream, lips like strawberry wine. She's sweet 16, she's beautiful and she's mine. Sorry. 16. So, Toothless is day crocheting. I've got 1.5 wings to go, half a tail wing to make, and his eyes to make out of felt, possibly. And then sew him all together. Easy! Not really, there's loads of bits. Loads to sew. And plus, I suppose it's good because then you'll stop having to hear about him. Spindling. I was watching a new to me video cast who's Welsh. She is Jenny and she hosts the Owl About Yarn video cast via YouTube. And I think she lives about the Cardiff area from what I could make out so far. I'm only a wee halfway through episode 7 of 23, I think she's called. But I really enjoyed it so far to the point of writing this. Hooray for hearing a Welsh accent. Thank you to Musing Runner for telling me about Jenny. And Jenny also has an Etsy shop where she sells her fibre. So after you've been to my Etsy shop, go to hers. Jenny was talking about spinning and I thought, I fancy a bit of spinning. As I fancy knitting with some hand spun. It's been gnawing at me that while I've got a bag of Dorito the Alpaca fibre to spin. And it's not been getting done. I went upstairs. I found my whisky tub with my spindle in it. The fibre, and I spindled for a good 20 minutes, and I managed a bit today, so 20 minutes a day, fair gets through it if you're spindling on anything, really, so hopefully I'll crack through with this red fluff that I've got on the spindle. I think it's merino, but I don't have any information on it anymore. Daisy claimed it a long time ago. I have been suggested several other podcasters from Twitter, and I'm going to go around to trying out some shortly, so I'll report on then. If any of you have some wonderful knitting podcasts with other crafts too, even, especially UK-based ones, please let me know. On to the sewing front. I've been slowly sewing the back of my binding on my quilt, which is quilt that turns into a pillow. I have a little voice in my head which is saying, "You need to unpick the first part because you use too light a thread and you can see it where it's not that neat. Because you were too lazy to go back upstairs, Louise." Me. Not the other Louise. She's not too lazy. That's how my little voice sounds. I was sitting working on the quilt last night and I had a little Daisy curled up beside me. And I got to the gate something else and I walked back and I thought, I like that. I really like that. My colours are good. I'm using a charcoal marled grey as a border and it really gives a good definition and brings the whole thing together. I think I'm going to need to listen to the little voice, which this was a blog post by PDX Knitter I completely agree with. Plus, I was showing Mum and she said, "Have you put in your pillow yet?" I said, "No, I was waiting to finish." And she went, "Oh, let's do it." I didn't realise it was a thing and excited. So I got all excited and then Bookle got all excited and stood all over it. And I was, "Get off my quilt on the floor." We folded it this way and then we folded it the next way. Couldn't get it into the pillow part. And then Mum ripped about 3 inches off the side of the pillow part of the main quilt. It's not ripped any material, it's just the pillow part is sewn on 3 sides. And I had thought I'd reinforced each edge. Not enough. So then we resorted to YouTube for instructions on how to fold your quilt into a pillow. I got an enormously helpful Antipodean lady. She wasn't enormous. She was helpfully enormous. Enormously helpful. But she wasn't enormous. Let's make that straight. And she showed that if you fold it inside of itself, you really need to watch the YouTube videos of how to do it. But we got it in, and it looks really cool. And I was at Sewing Day yesterday and had enormous fun. It was great to catch up with the ladies from before the summer holidays. A couple are suffering a bit from poor health now, so it's quite hard to take, but one came in for a cup of tea, so I hope we brightened her day a little. I had along with me a pack of material and zips to make a zippy bag, but I'd given Mum the pattern last week and I thought she'd given it back today, but she didn't, and I couldn't be bothered driving round her house to get it. I wasn't alone in this because Lorna was also making a dog pincushion and she didn't have the gusset part of the pattern and she couldn't be bothered going back for it either. She was using some Wick High School tartan, which I thought was really nice. Mum was hemming on my two new tartan skirts. I got them from my dad's cousin, who's a Sinclair, whilst one is a Mackay modern tartan. I'm not 100% sure what the other one is. I think I'm going to have to send a picture to Angela Lauder from Scotch Tweed and get her dad to find out. I thought it was a Sinclair tartan or a Mackay tartan, but I can't figure out which one it is. It's awfully bonny. And the kilt skirts were both quite straight and halfway between my knee and my ankle, and that does not suit me at all. I asked my mum if I could take it up, and she said, yes, here, I'll pin it for you. And then she goes, do you want me to do it? And I went, well, I was going to, but yes, please. I now have two tartan skirts, both above the knee, and they're both very good quality. I got to keep the rest of the tartan too. My cousin gave me three tartan skirts as I had told her about my bag sailing, and she says, oh, I've got some you can have. So I was absolutely delighted. The third skirt is a black watch. I thought it was Mackay at first, but I'm having bother getting the pleats out of the material that it's been cut up. I'm going to go and try to steam it with my Murphy Richard steamer, and if that doesn't work well, I don't know if I'm going to use it. I've got other black watch tartan anyway, and I'll use the rest of the tartan from the skirts for something else. I'm actually wanting to go into zip bags as well, but I need to learn how to do them correctly first before I can start selling them or giving them away. Now, I don't mind putting in zips. My mum hates them, but she's done way more zips than I'll ever dream of doing. Plus, my zip foot on my sewing machine is very good. Now, a wee bit back, I did a few videos on Instagram to show the different foot and their uses on my sewing machine. Different feet, rather. I have a few that came with my Elna sewing machine, such as a quarter inch foot, which is a wee barrier at the right edge, and you can butt your material up, which will help you gain a quarter inch seam. It's not the only way you can get a good quarter inch seam, but it's a very helpful one to me, and I use it a lot. I also have a rolled helm foot video, which you would use for finer fabrics such as silk or georgette, and I use mine for various success. Those items are just for me and not for giving or selling. Let's just leave that at that. But it takes a lot of practice, apparently, to get it right. I also have shown the quilting walking foot. This one is a bit of a, you have to read the manual to fit it on my machine, but it's for walking thicker or layers of fabrics through whilst you sew them, and you normally pair that with a longer stitch. It's a good one for doing, guess what, quilts. It's really handy if you have a few layers, such as when I was making the needle rolls for the retreat. I had at least three layers at one point and I used that foot. Oh, babe, I have your Campbell needle roll finished. If you'd like to get, please message me. My other foot I use a lot is an edging foot, which gives an almost overlocker effect. It's not an overlocker because it doesn't have the option to cut as you go and you only use one spool of thread at a zigzag stitch. But I use it on the edges of tartan to stop them from fraying because tartan is quite good at fraying. I have other feet too, with if after a bit of experience, I might do another few videos. I'm also wanting to learn the buttonhole one and the zip one, and I don't know if I've shown you the freestyle machine embroidery one. That's my favourite one. And these are all on my Instagram feed and they're only at least 10 seconds long. So go back before my American photos and they're there. Oh, I digress from sewing day. Jean was there and she started a card holder in Christmas fabric wall hanging, which, you know, I think it would be great in normal fabric for birthdays and other occasions where you want to hang your cards all together. Celia was making a baby quilt and so was Marina. Different babies. Liz was sewing a ripple effect handbag. Janet was making a Christmas placemat, and I was attending to Christmas wall hanging that I had gotten to the point of binding last year. I had to quilt it first, but I was thinking about taking it apart a wee bit because I'd see where I'd appliqued the tree in the middle of the material in the white, and I could see through where I'd put the red pot behind it. It annoyed me. But then Mum suggested put some silver ribbon over it, put some ribbon over it or something and hide it. And I found some silver ribbon and some red sequins in the cupboard, and I thought, that's mate. So I managed, after she showed me, how to sew them on without going through three layers. And I got the top of the quilt, no, it's actually in three layers. I got to the point of needing its binding, and I stopped then because I had taken along some mottle grey, which was the same as my quillo for binding. But I thought, I'm going to see if I've got any black or red that matched it better. So I went home a bit early. And on my drive home, I remembered I'd already cut the binding for this, which was from the white pattern cotton, which is in the middle of the quilt. Mm-hmm. I bought a fat quarter, and that's way loads for this wall hangings, because it's only really about laptop size. And this wee thing was from Mel of Melsky Knits. Hi Mel, and you made me laugh quite a lot today. The island beside her is for sale. So if anybody's got a spare 75 million, oh yes I do, spare change, down the back of the couch, you could buy that island. The fabric was Winter Wonderland, and it's a Moda fabric charm pack, and I think it's about 3 or 4 inch squares. So I'm delighted to get it made, but I remember now I need to put a sleeve in the back due to it being a wall hanging. So well remembered, listeners, before I get back to it. Caithness Quilters will be having another exhibition, but this time in the library, and it's going to be from the 15th to the 23rd of September. So get yourself to St Fergus Gallery to see some amazing work. But use the white gloves to touch it, right? And I want your mucky fingerprints on my quilt. I'll talk to you until the cows come home about it, but don't you touch it, right? I'm being serious. Honestly, I might be smiling, but I'm not. Right, into the library corner. I got my sticky hands on the pulled art book. I didn't touch quilts, if they're sticky. And I was missing one out from the series, which was called The Loving Cup. I read it last week, and I'm now onto the penultimate book, which I'm using as a mouse pad just now, and it's called The Twisted Sword. I like Winston Graham's version of the early 1800s. He's well researched, and particularly the illnesses of the time and how they treated them, and also the politics are pretty well covered, so it's quite good to digest. I also listened to Muriel Sparks, The Girls of Slender Means, and this is set in a woman's posh hostel between the VE and VJ days at the end of the Second World War. It was narrated by Julia Stevenson, and it's quite a short book, and it had been mentioned on a Goodreads podcast recently. I quite enjoyed it. It's very Muriel Sparks.
Shoppy section.
In the shop, there is a red MacGregor project bag, handbag, red handbag, notepad with hand-embroidered dinner fash on it for Outlander fans. I see that they're back at the filming. And then there's a retreat goodie bag in there for sale if anyone wishes to pretend that they were actually there. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me. My email is caithnesscraftclaydiff@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseG2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftclaydiff.podbean.com. Photos are down the right hand side. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting. Which is your... Oh, thank you.
Oh, damn, look.
I know, but it means extra editing. Thank you. Now, Bickle is telling me that he wants out. So we'll see. Thank you, Mum.
I bought the wool at your knitting fest.
Oh, hold on, we'll come out. There you go. I didn't even say thank you.